On today's show, we talk with expert in educational leadership and diversity keynote speaker, Dr. Rosita Lopez. This is the Eagles Talent Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Eagles Talent Speakers Bureau, for speakers who inspire, educate, and entertain. You can find us online at eaglestalent.com. Remember, you can listen to our podcast on our site at eaglestalent.com or subscribe to it on iTunes by simply typing Eagles Talent in the search. Viewers, welcome to the Eagles Talent Podcast. Today we are joined by a gifted, inspirational speaker who is an expert in educational leadership and diversity, Dr. Rosita Lopez. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
All right, so I guess we'll just get right into it.
Okay.
Let's start off with your childhood. Can you tell us a little bit about your family?
Okay, so I grew up in Chicago. We are from Puerto Rico. So living in Chicago, we were still living in Puerto Rico, in Chicago. So we were raised very culturally connected in terms of the, you know, traditions, the music, the culture, and everything, and especially the language, which was another big plus. So working class family, grew up in a very poor neighborhood. I thought we were rich, but I didn't know we were not rich. Until somebody said, you live in a slum.
In one of your speeches, you reflect back on a childhood experience where you were told by your teacher that you would never become a doctor. What made you want to become a doctor, and how old were you when she first discouraged you?
Well, I was in fifth grade, so I think I was like 11, possibly, I think around 11 years old. And just, it was the way of the world then. Women have always had to deal with a lot more, so when I started to give my speech, the teacher said this was not a make-believe assignment. It affected me for a really long time, so much so that I dropped out of high school.
So after you got your GED, that is when you went to get your doctorate in education in 1992, right?
Yes, the doctorate was in 1992, and it was a big step.
Right.
For me and also for my family and for a lot of the Latina women that I know, as well as women in general, because I don't exclude. And it was a big deal for our family and the females in our family as well.
Well, you were told it was such an impossible feat and you conquered that, so that's very impressive.
Thank you.
In one of your keynotes, you say, quote, "The media did not show people like me being on top of the world running businesses." You then go on to say, we need to reject rejection. Can you explain what that means?
It was interesting. I was that was a time where I was hired by the university to be a professor. And I was really excited and really scared. Universities don't pay that much. So I actually took a pay cut from Director of Reform Implementation in Chicago to go be a professor at, in the Midwest. So one of my colleagues who was walking down the hall, I said, "Oh, Dr. So-and-so, I'm so happy to meet you. My name is Rosita Lopez, and I'm in your department." And he said, "Don't get comfortable. You don't belong here. You have nothing to offer." I was like, oh, he's only kidding. He's just, you know, he's going to laugh and go, "I'm just kidding." But that's not what happened. So I went to the bathroom, and I started to reject myself. I mean, pretty much look in the mirror and say, he's absolutely right. I have nothing to offer. I don't even know who I was thinking. I need to know my place. I mean, I heard my teacher's voice again. So I'm 11 years old again, even though here I am at a university, and that was really hard. And then, you know, I just kind of decided I'm going to move forward. But that really hurt. Then not far later, another colleague said to me, you need to reject rejection. and not reject yourself. So those were new words in my head to replace the you don't belong here, to replace this is not a make-believe assignment. And that's kind of what we have to do to move forward, but then we have to make a difference.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. So I've noticed that you focus on incorporating teamwork in diverse settings in your keynotes. Can you break down how you apply that program to your audiences?
Interactive types of things I do. It's the way I teach in the doctoral programs anyway. This is what I do. I teach doctoral, master's programs. We do a lot of group work. We learn more from each other when we interact than just to have a talking head at us. And so I bring in activities that people can do as partners, as a small group, as a large group. Some getting to know each other, but mostly getting to understand that we are quite diverse in the way we think. And sometimes what we're perceiving as an offense could actually be a cultural, you know, miscommunication, and or it is offense that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And so when you kind of immerse yourself in what would be, I do something called psychogeometrics, which I love to do. It's based on Carl Jung's work. And I really like that because people get to try on some shapes. And what happens is they get to understand a little bit more about the way they are. But they also get to understand that regardless of age, color, culture, whatever, we differ. And so it helps them to understand how to communicate with others. And that really, I mean, people come back and they say, can you share that with me so I could try it with my team? Absolutely. Everything I have, you can have. And so I just sent out all my PowerPoint from the last conference I was at, and I sent out some of the activities that I do. And people go to the workplace or, you know, their community things, and they try them, and they come back and they say, I did it so great. You know, this was the results. And I'm like, great. And that's what it's about. It's about leaving a legacy, leaving others empowered, and also letting them know it's not okay to just look the other way when you see something that is not appropriate or when you see something that is offensive. If it offends you, it's probably offending that person. And we have to be voices for those that maybe don't feel that they can be advocates for self.
Yeah, I love that. Recently, you donated the proceeds from a speaking engagement to hurricane victims in Puerto Rico. Your donation helped build roofs, buy food, medicine, and helped provide many other resources. What inspired you to take action?
You know, if I can't be there at that moment, there are people who are there, and that will give them what they need in order to get done what they need to do. And we need, and that also, I also did the same thing for earthquake in Mexico. I think those are just important things that we are able to help. I also spent 2 weeks out there in Puerto Rico, and that was a little bit more of a devastation.
Right.
That was beyond anything that I could ever expect. I'm in the middle of writing on it, but I had to put it down because it was really affecting me negatively. But I need to get back to that, and I'm actually leaving again next week.
Oh, wow.
To spend another week there with a group, and actually having Channel 9 from Chicago follow us over to Puerto Rico. But in the process of all of that, the devastation, the deaths, I also lost family as a result of this hurricane. And now, finally, FEMA and the government of Puerto Rico are bringing in, I mean, over about 3,000 people from Puerto Rico who have endured a month and a half of hell. So they had to wait, you know, 40 plus days in order to get out of what is living in water that's infected, not having food, not having electricity, satellite, or anything. And so I committed to not only helping, but then also physically helping. And I feel it makes it, it's the best thing in the world to know that you were able to help. And that people come back and say, you know, oh my gosh, you don't know how that was so important. And people have been also very, you know, generous in giving of their time, their resources. A woman in Moni, Illinois, contacted me and said, I have a big house. It's just me and a dog. I'll give this to a family. And I'll live in one room and they can have the house. She wasn't kidding. And so far, we didn't have any takers, But she did ask, how else can I help? And there was a mom whose baby was very allergic to every kind of milk except for a specific baby formula. Mm-hmm. Again, she said, tell me the name of that formula and give me the address. So we each network to help out so she can send a case to that mom. It's a difference between life and death. Mm. And I could keep going and going on that, but it's really important that we're able to help as much as possible.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know that you also talked about providing food for families in Puerto Rico so they can at least have a Thanksgiving dinner. What else can people do to help those that were devastated with this hurricane?
Help them as they bridge over to the United States. Wherever you're at, there's going to be a family, and they are going to New York. They're going to Florida right now. Those 3,000 are being, you know, sent that way. Help with whatever resources you can. And if there's organizations that are helping people, contribute. Go. Ask them. What do you need? There's social service community organizations. I happen to chair one in Chicago, Casa Central. And so Casa Central really serves all Chicago, Hispanic-serving organization, but it doesn't exclude anyone. So we serve all. It doesn't matter what language you speak or where you come from. So families are coming in. They are given a full apartment with a refrigerator full of food, bedding, clothing. What we do is, like, you gave something to a community center, they parceled that out and set that up for the family. We have a building that I think has about 50 units that do this. There's other places around communities, around where everyone is at, where they're helping. Find out where they're at. And even if you give a cup that you don't need, that's going to go to that family, and they're going to have an extra cup so they can drink from, and so on. Of course, fundraisers are great, and then make sure where they go. Because if you give to Red Cross, which is fine, you have to specify where you want the money to go, or it just goes everywhere, which is still a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing is, there's so many ways to help. When I was there in September, which is when the storm came, a lot of people wanted to fly into the island, and that was impossible because the airplanes were not taking that risk. What they also have to understand is they're coming in means they're going to drink the water that nobody else has. They're going to eat the food that other people don't have, and they're going to take up resources for others. So sending money, sending help, being available, being open, speaking out when you hear comments that are negative and that sort of thing. Those are the kinds of things that make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. Lastly, what is next for Dr. Rosita Lopez?
There's so much going on. I'm working on online courses with universities. I'm doing coaching for leaders in their businesses or principals. I am speaking around the country, and I love it. Finished writing that book that is really upsetting me. Reading and more reading all the time, always reading, love to read. It's really, really opens your mind and your heart to others. And being available, as we are being a bridge in Chicago to bring these families in and set them up with the resources that they need. I've been blessed so much in helping others get their doctorates done. So I'm finishing my doctoral students, and they are graduating one after the other. And I'm staying very busy, keeping my ear to the ground to what is going on, and enjoying my grandchildren, my family, my husband, who's the greatest, greatest support. You really need that when you're trying to do so many things. You have to have a good support system at home. And I can say that I have his absolute support on everything. And so taking care of family. And right now I brought my dad, who's 96 years old, from Puerto Rico. And he is now living with me, and that's been a real interesting challenge because he hates the cold weather, he needs to see sunshine, and he misses his dog. Aww. But any proceeds, fundraising, the people that I'm traveling with, all monies have to be used for food, for people, and to help them become self-sustainable. So we're taking lots of seeds, believe it or not, seeds. To grow things again. Those are some things. People lost everything. Mm-hmm. And so planting, food. And so we're taking lots of that, purifying pills and things like that. In the meantime, my dad will be cared for by my husband and also my sisters. And overall, he's great, though. I mean, you know, he just wants to go home. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of people that are coming from disaster types of situations. They just miss home.
Yeah.
And they miss,
yeah.
You know, this is an unusual place. So we have to understand that people suffer even after they're out of harm's way. They're still suffering.
Well, just want to say thank you so much for sitting down to chat with me today. For more information on Dr. Rosita Lopez, be sure to visit her Eagletown speakers page. And Dr. Rosita Lopez, thank you again.
Thank you.